You may not be able to read the serial number on it. You may not even be able to see the face. But what I hold in my hand is a $20 bill, okay? Everybody can see that? Everybody can verify I have this? All right. Can everybody identify who gave it to me? Okay, great. Most of you are honest enough to say yes. Okay, I want you to know a few things because I find them amazing. When I was in high school, this was amazing. When I was in high school, I was in a car, my friend was driving, and we were picking up a third friend of ours, and we were doing that little gag that you've all done. All of you have done this. I don't care if you say you haven't. You have. We were doing that gag where when your friend comes to the car, you inch forward a bit. You say, come on, get in. They start to reach for the door. You inch forward a bit. Come on, get in. You inch forward a bit. And it stopped on our third friend's foot. We inched forward a bit more real fast to get it off of his foot. And he was a little bit sore and grumbled a little bit. But would you believe he forgave the two of us? And we went on our way and had a fun evening. Can you believe that? Yeah, I find it incredible. Would you believe your pastor, me, that I have been, I know, this one sounds incredible. It's too unreal to believe. But I have been upset enough that I lost my temper and I spouted off at someone one time. Can you believe it? It's true. No, seriously. If anybody listens to this online, no one in the congregation believed it. It's true. There are at least a couple times I can think of where I got upset and ran my mouth, probably in a less than friendly manner, said some words that I wish I could have taken back, and would you believe the other person forgave me? True. Now, one time, I was just trying to tell the truth. I like to be straightforward. I like to be honest. I like to be open. I think transparency is wonderful. Everybody knows where everyone else is. It's important to me. So I approached a gentleman, and I said, "Your son reminds me a lot of you. I find you to be extremely dim-witted, hideously ugly, and without hope in your life." He was a Bears fan. And in that process, insulted both the gentleman and his son. He forgave me. These are incredible things. Three separate instances. The last one I did not speak my mind enough on. But three separate times, the things have happened, and there's a party willing to forgive. Back to the $20 bill I still hold in my hand. Some of you are going to be so disappointed I'm not doing a magic trick with this. Look, I folded it into a swan and it's now a $100 bill. I can't do that. Some of you are like, mwah, mwah, mwah. But this is still the same $20 bill, still in my possession. Now, this isn't mine, right? I didn't pull it out of my pocket. We all witnessed, this is the best it gets, folks, so just go with it. We all witnessed that this was given to me by Nancy, correct? Yes. You're still with me? Yes. Man, if I put somebody to sleep by now, it's a new record, okay? But this is not mine, and I did not say I need to keep this. I did not say I work for tips, by the way. I'm going to bring a really large case up here and be like, "Pastor, we'll work for tips." Okay, what would the right thing be to do with this? I should give it back. I'm currently debating whether or not I will. But I want you to look at this $20 bill and to know, more than any of the three examples I gave, more than any of the examples that you were thinking of where someone has forgiven you for a wrong, or someone that has forgiven someone else and you've witnessed their forgiveness for a wrong, I want you to know right now that the one thing I do that people find completely unforgivable is pocket their $20. No, I'm just kidding. The one thing I do that people find completely unforgivable, that they get offended about the most, that they will hold a grudge against most, is talk to them about money. So this is my visual aid this morning. I'm going to talk to you about money. Okay? 20, money. Believe it or not, people will hold a grudge in their hearts for the rest of their lives because the pastor had the nerve to talk to me about my money. And I think that's only part of like the disgust and attitude they get about it. The pastor talking to me about my money. And I just can't do a ridiculous enough voice. And people will say, money and church are separate things. I've heard that. And people will say, what I do with my money is my business. And I'll get all irritated. And people say, you can't tell me what to do with my money. Hey, guess what? You're right. I can't. But I can tell you what Jesus said about your money. And Jesus talked a lot about money. Jesus talked a lot about money. And Jesus talked about money so much because it is one of the things that will attack our hearts and stand between us and God. Get in the way of what God has for our lives, and we think this is what will make our lives full. And God says, no, that is a tool you have that will help your life and the lives of others. This will get between us. And Jesus talked a lot about that. After holding this for so long, I do feel kind of attached to it. But it's not mine. So I'm going to give it back. Thank you. Mark 10, beginning in verse 17, Jesus has this encounter. And I want you to listen to this, and I want you to help me by inserting yourself into the story. Maybe you're going to say, I can't relate. I don't know the characters. I can't relate. I haven't heard this passage before. Just walk through this passage with me and try and put yourself in and see if this doesn't speak to a little bit of your lives. And again, fair warning, I'm talking about you and your money. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. But you know the commandments, Jesus says. You want to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, teacher, the man said, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him, and I don't want you to miss that small detail. Jesus did not look at him in disgust. Jesus did not look down on him. Jesus did not look away from him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, Jesus said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, see if these words sound familiar, come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said it again. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at this. Of course they were. They had needles with them, and they looked at a nearby camel. They're like, what? They were amazed at this, and they said to each other, well, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter spoke up and said, Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come. No one that has left these things will fail to receive them back in this life, and so much more in the life to come." This parable to me is interesting. This parable talks about God, and it talks about following God, and it talks about money. And Jesus has an opinion on it. Jesus encounters this young man who is, by the way, apparently a devoutly religious young man. He sees Jesus coming. Jesus didn't carry around a neon like, "I'm Jesus" sign. "I'm the Son of God," you know. He didn't glow often. There was one story. But Jesus was walking along. The man sees him. He's like, "Boom, I've heard about Jesus. I believe in Jesus." And he doesn't just come up to him. "Hey, Jesus, good to meet you, Son of God. How's it going?" He kneels at his feet. This man bows before Jesus. And he asks of Jesus. Imagine that old game, right? If you could ask anything of God, what would you ask for? Okay? If you could stand before Jesus and ask for anything, what would you ask? Like, "Jesus, here's the list." You know, he says, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" He doesn't ask for any worldly good. He doesn't ask for, like, more love. He doesn't ask, "Bless me with a huge inheritance that I can pass on to my children," or "Bless me with more children." He didn't say, "Bless me with less children." He didn't do any of that. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He kneels at Jesus' feet, and he asks, "How can I live in God's ways forever and ever? That's my one request." This was a devoutly religious young man. He kneels before Jesus. He asks Jesus for eternal life. And other times in Scripture, when you see this happening, so if you look at Matthew's Gospel, if you look at Mark's Gospel, if you look at Luke's Gospel, if you look at John's Gospel, when someone comes and they kneel before Jesus, typically the way the story ends is they get what they're looking for. Why? Because Jesus is always the answer. And Jesus gives him an answer. He looked at this young man and he loved him and he said, "Well, you know the commandments." And the guy's like, yeah, "I'm so super religious. I've kept all the commandments." And he did his little commandment keeping dance, which I won't do, but trust me, he did one. He was thrilled to say, "I know you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. What I want from you is eternal life, Jesus. And yeah, I know the Scriptures, I know the commands, and I have kept them." This is an awesome guy, right? It's like any one of you coming up to the altar to pray, after having prayed, reading from your Bible, and then saying, "I love God deeply," and asking, "God, what can I do for you?" You in that scenario would be doing exactly what a good Christian should do. This man in this scenario was doing exactly what a good person who recognized Jesus would do. And Jesus says, "Okay, well, then there's just one thing you lack." And it's one thing. It's like, "Let's have it, Jesus. I'm ready. What one thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Go sell your possessions and give it to the poor." And the man's like, "What two things can I do to inherit eternal life?" You have to imagine he wondered, right? You know, okay, answer A, that was a low blow, Jesus. What else do you have? Give me another commandment, because I can keep those. Tell me to pray more often, because I'm praying. I'm kneeling right here. Dear Jesus, I want eternal life. Tell me again. You know, he could do all the right things religiously, but what happened? Jesus identified that thing that was a barrier. Jesus looked at this man, don't forget it, please, and loved him, cared deeply about him. We'll assume, for the purpose of assuming our Savior really is as good as we say, that he wanted what was best for this person. And he said, "You're going to have to let go of your wealth. You're going to have to let go of your earthly possessions. you're going to have to get rid of your money because it's acting as a barrier between us. And what happened to that man? He went away sad because he couldn't do it. Because he, just like I said, so many people get, was offended or hurt or just too attached to his money. Couldn't do it. Jesus said, if you want to inherit eternal life, for you in particular, this young man, you're doing a great job and you're almost there, and I see that you're kneeling at my feet, and it's okay, stand up. And just sell your possessions, just let go. Just don't make your wealth a barrier. Don't hang on to that. Hang on instead to me. The guy couldn't do it. Jesus said to him, sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and then follow me. That same invitation that I keep talking to you about, the invitation that Jesus stands before us and he calls us farther all the time. Jesus is calling. Jesus is ready. You don't have to prepare yourself. Jesus is waiting. Like, let's go. Just follow me. Come to me. You want to know where it's at? Live life in me. You want to live a good life? Follow me. You want to reach the world around you? Follow me. You want to know me better? Follow me. Jesus invites him. If you can get rid of your wealth, it's a barrier. Let go of it. Then you can follow me. And the man says, no. Thanks for the invitation. I'm out. And it'd be so cool to finish that by walking down the stairs that are back there, but I'm not gonna. This person was seeking eternal life, and the hitch is that he was rich. His money was a mountain that he couldn't climb up to get to Jesus. His riches were a resource that created a barrier. The spirit was willing, but the wallet was weak. However you want to phrase it, okay? This man's financial well-being stood between him and Jesus. What was the reason that he could not follow Jesus? What did he need to do to have eternal life? Did Jesus say, I don't want you to have eternal life. I have predestined that you, sir, cannot have eternal life. Did Jesus say, no, it's because I saw you treated your neighbor unkindly, and because of that, you cannot have eternal life? Did Jesus say, you aren't holy enough? I've got my holyometer right here, and I'm measuring you, sir, and you're just not there. Yeah, you're like a 6 out of 10. No. The man went away sad because he chose his wealth over Jesus. And just so we're all clear, I didn't make that story up. You can open your Bibles and you can find it. And by the way, you can find it in Matthew, and you can find it in Mark, and you can find it in Luke. And John chose to be a little different and didn't write about that. In case you don't know, Matthew and Mark and Luke are people who wrote the accounts of Jesus' life, what they saw, what they experienced, and they did their best to write it down. Three of the disciples that were there when Jesus said, look how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Three of those disciples wrote that down. Must have made an impression on them. That they themselves couldn't get what Jesus said. They couldn't get it right. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't execute it. And here comes this guy who's just like flying on track. He's about to receive an A in Christianity before there was Christianity. And he can't part with his wealth. They're like, I will never forget that. And I hope nobody else does either. So why talk about that this morning? Because I'm convinced this happens to us as well. I'm not going to point fingers. I'm not going to point fingers because I don't know you well enough. But here's a dangerous thing that happens. We come up with all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses and all kinds of luxuries that we want to indulge in. And then we say, well, I don't want to give to God because I can't. Or we'll say, I don't want to give to God because I believe God's calling me to do other things. Well, fascinating. That's fascinating. So God says, listen, I want you to give back to me from what, by the way, I have given to you. But you're exempt from that. Oh, that's awesome. And people say, I don't want to give to God because, and they come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. And, well, it's the church, see. Well, it's a political thing. Well, because the tax implications. What, really? I mean, we come up with these excuses, and what happens is we're saying, oh, but I do love God. Every time we're doing the same thing, we'll kneel at the feet of Jesus. Oh, I do love you, Jesus. I want eternal life. Don't touch my wallet. What's wrong with you, Jesus? I don't need to give you money to follow you. Have you ever heard that? I don't need to give money to follow Jesus. Well, no, you don't have to. But it sure would be nice, since that money doesn't really belong to you anyway. And since God gave you the ability to earn it. And by the way, if you're kneeling at his feet, don't you really love him? And what would be the best way you could say thank you? What would be the most concrete sign that you really appreciate what God has given you? To give a little bit back? I have not, outside of this story, where it occurs in the three Gospels, ever seen Jesus say, I want to take every cent from you. Jesus calls for a portion of what we have to be given back as an offering. There is no club, although I'm convinced there should be one in the United Methodist Church, but there is no club of people in the church that carry clubs, and they pray to Jesus, and they say, Lord, help us to deliver these blows swiftly when people don't give. And because of that, I think sometimes we don't give. I can make jokes up here all day, and I can tell you what Jesus said all day, but here's the heart of it. We put barriers between ourselves and God. And sometimes we actively do that. I'm not talking to God right now because I'm hurt. I'm not talking to God because of what happened in this church at one point. There's this crisis in my life and I have to focus on that and my relationship with God will die. Sometimes we actively put those barriers in our way, and sometimes it's not so much a barrier that we put there, but there's a barrier because we're holding on to something that we just can't let go of, and it's stopping us from being all that Jesus calls us to be. And he says, follow me, and we're like, I'll follow you. I will. Honest, Jesus. Well, I can't. I'm trying. Never mind. It's something we can't let go of, and money absolutely loves to be in that position, to anchor you down, to weigh you down, and believe me, the enemy will use money as a tool to step between you and God all day. Because it's easy to convince you your money is your security, your livelihood, your well-being, and your fun. And Jesus is calling, follow me, follow me. And the enemy steps in and says, no, you want to be secure, don't you? You want to have a good life, don't you? You want to have it all. God would want you to have it all, right? And so we hang on to our money. And again, one of the best teachings I ever heard was the three things that combat for a place in our heart with God. And it's love when it gets misplaced, and it's power, and it's money. And so I'm talking to you, Diary United Methodist Church, specifically I'm talking to you about money because I don't want you to fall into that trap. Listen, if you give to the church, here's a secret. I'm not talking about this because my wallet gets fatter, okay? I take one small handful from the offering plate on Sunday mornings and I walk out. It's not going to benefit me that... You didn't know I did that? Never mind, I don't do that. It's not because my pay goes up proportional to what you give. It's not because I get to call the bishop and be like, hey, 20% up in income this week, so just all right. It's not because we get some notoriety. It's not because Jesus loves us more when we give. I'm not going to give you, won't name pastor, that would tell you when you give to God, you will receive back immediately and in this lifetime and in the form of more wealth. I'm not going to do prosperity promises to you. I'm going to tell you that when you give, you are letting go of one thing that will hold you back from the life that God calls you to. I'm telling you that if you love Jesus, and if you would kneel at his feet, and if you would seek him and hear him call, come follow me, you will never be able to follow while you're holding on to your wealth. And sometimes we just haven't made it a priority. But we can change that, right? I mean, we get to be in control of our money. Our money's not in control of us, isn't it? Or is it? Because for this parable, this young man, he couldn't bring himself to Jesus because his wealth was in control of him. First Peter 4:10, I had it for our biblical focus last week, and I have it this week, and I love what it says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Well, I talked about your talents last week. This week I'm talking to you just so that we're clear, in case you missed it up to this point, about, say it for me. Yeah, you didn't say it like I do. Money. Yeah, it makes it a little slimier. It helps. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And believe me, go ask 2/3 of the rest of this earth. We have wealth as a gift from God. Will you not give back to God with that wealth? You have money, you have income, God has blessed you with whatever you have, the ability to earn. This is a gift from God. Why wouldn't you give back to God with your income? Some people say, I give back to God with my time. Fantastic. Try your income too. And they get hurt in that tissue that connects their heart to their wall. Oh, no. Some people will say, I give back because I give to the United Way and I give to the Cancer Society, and that's great. Those are good things. I support those things. But have you given back to God out of gratitude for what you have? And that little string that connects their heart to their wallet, they go, ow, no. And people will say, I am so devout. I pray and I read the scripture, and sometimes I glow a little bit because I'm holy and I give my time to God. I said, that's wonderful. Thank you, because that's important too. But can you show God that you're grateful for what you have by giving your money? And they say, ow, because that little string that connects their heart to their wallet, it gets hurt. Listen, don't be the rich young man, okay? Boy, you're thinking, I wish he'd said that 20 minutes ago. Don't be the rich young man. When Jesus says, come and follow me individually and as a church, don't say, we want to, but God, we've got this money and we can't. I mean, I want to follow you, but look, Jesus, I'm trying. And Jesus is like, let go of the money, okay? You want eternal life? Do you love me? Have you prayed to me? Do you have a relationship with me? Do you know what the scriptures say? Let go of your wealth. Let go of those things that hold you back. Now, I want to be absolutely clear, and I always try and say this because I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to enhance my message with this. This was a real-world example. Talked with a very angry man one time. He said, the Bible says I can't get into heaven because I'm wealthy. He was wealthy. And he was angry. And I said, that's not what the Bible says. Like, you're not condemned for having wealth. Jesus says it's a problem when you hold on to that wealth. And I told this guy, in fact, I believe that God has blessed you with that. Will you give some back because you're grateful for it? And he had to go home angry and think about that. He's like, no, because as I read it, the Bible says, I can't enter God's kingdom because I have wealth. Read it again! Jesus didn't say, I will not accept you if you are wealthy. I have blessed you, and therefore I have cursed you. Bam! It's not how it goes, and I want you to hear that. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to do some fun things with money. It may have been wrong for me to keep the 20 because it wasn't mine. God says the same thing, okay? Don't hang on to it all. It's not yours to begin with. Use it. Do good things with it. Enjoy it, but don't let it hold you back. Jesus stands before you calling, come, follow me. Get past the barriers. Let go of the baggage. Come follow me. There's more than this. You think life is good now? There's more. Come follow me. You may have to let go of some things. Come and follow me. Don't be the rich young man. Don't let wealth hold you back from all Jesus has to offer. Would you pray with me?